No. Okay. Thank you, Father. Let's start with prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the opportunity to praise you and glorify you, Father, and thank you that you send your Spirit to minister to us. So, Father, we just receive your Spirit. We ask you to move amongst us and ask you to help us to know you better and draw closer to you. And we give you the honor and glory. Amen. Amen. I originally was going to give a message about spiritual discernment and the discerning of spirits and a little bit of the difference. But the more I thought about it and prayed about it, I really felt I was supposed to talk about endurance today. So I went back. This is a message that I presented a long time ago on a Wednesday night. But I do believe it's the message I'm supposed to give today. So bear with it. We're going to start out by reading Matthew 19, verse 28. I'm going to set a foundation. You got it? So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sets on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now that's talking about the 12 disciples. But the point and the foundation I want to lay here, because we're going to build on that, is that we are all called to rule and reign with Christ, right? And so if we're called to rule and reign with Christ, there's going to be a preparation, isn't there? We're going to have to be prepared for it. And that preparation is what we're going to talk about today, because that's the base that we start from. Let's go to 2 Timothy, verses 11 and 12. Because what I'm starting out to do is I looked up kind of four scriptural principles that God's going to try to build into us to help us to be prepared to rule and reign with him. And the first principle is in 2 Timothy 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, "For if we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us." So the first principle or preparation that God's going to try to put into our heart, and there are others, but the four I want to talk about today, first principle is endurance. God has to try to build endurance into us. And what does that mean? Well, endurance really is translated as patience, long-suffering, perseverance, or to stand firm. You'll see that all these different words are used at different times in the scriptures, but they all mean the same thing. In the Greek, it's the word hupomano, which means to stay under, to go under, to bear, or to have fortitude. So if you put those two things together, what is it really saying? This is kind of what it meant to me. It means that we are supposed to hold up under the pressures, allow God to bring us through them, and allow God to do a good work in us while we're going through it. Now the second principle is in Matthew 5, verses 3 through 5. Okay. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." This is a principle that God wants to build into us: humbleness, poverty of spirit. We all know the verse in the song, we sing it, that says, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." See? So he wants to build that humbleness into it. Now let's move to the third principle, and that's in Titus. Titus 2, verse 14. "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good." So in Titus, it tells us that the next principle we're talking about is purity. God wants purification in us. He wants to purify us from ourself and from our flesh. But if you look at that, there actually are two different aspects of that purification. There's the divine and there's the human. Okay? Now, I want to show you this scripturally, because you're saying, wait a minute, God's the one that purifies. You know, we don't purify, but we do have a part, and we are to play a part in our own purification. And I'll show you that scripturally. Let's look at 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So, who's to purify in that? We are to purify ourselves. Now, we're not talking about works here. Did I read verse 2 also? Okay. So, we're to purify ourselves. But I'm not talking about works here. This is not works. So what is it? How do we purify ourselves? Let's go to the second verse, which is 1 Peter 2, verse 22. Okay. Who did no sin, neither was guilt found in his mouth. 1 Peter 1:22. That'll make more sense. Okay. Seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So we, our job, God is the one that purifies us. It's our his righteousness. But our job is to obey the truth. As we obey the truth, we are purifying ourselves. Now, the fourth principle is in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. So this principle is that we have to love the truth. But it goes beyond that. It says if we don't love the truth, then we are in danger. And that's because the truth is our protection, and love of the truth is our protection from deception. It says it in the Word. And that deception, not only is it our protection from deception, but it also tells us then that if we don't love the truth and we come into deception, who's going to send a delusion? God. God will even send a delusion. Now, the good news, and don't worry about it, is that this he's talking. This is a warning to those who perish. So, you know, we don't have to be worried about that if we love the truth. And if you love the truth, you're standing in Christ. So this tells us that if we refuse the devil, if we refuse the truth, then the devil is going to bring a delusion and a deception, and God will send that delusion. It's just like in Proverbs 23:23. We won't read it, but what it really says is that tells us that we're supposed to buy truth and not to sell it. Because the truth of God, is a pearl of invaluable price. See, God has a demand upon us, and he deserves that we make a commitment to him, to believe him, and to obey his word. You know, it's not just hearing, but it's doing of the word. Now let's look at Matthew 24, 1 through 11 through 14. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When people become lawless, they also lose their love. This is because love and discipline really go hand in hand. And people don't always like to hear that. But if you lose discipline, you also are losing your love. Because in love, you discipline, right? And I don't think it's ever been more evident in our nation that this is exactly what's happening. We're losing discipline in our nation. We're becoming lawless. And love is turning to hate. That is one of the hallmarks and characteristics we're seeing happening in our country right now. But it's interesting in this paragraph, in this section that I just read, because you know what? The love he's talking about there is agape love. And what is agape love? It's Christian love. So, yes, that's true in the world, but really, he's not talking about the love of the world growing colder. He's really talking about Christian love growing colder. The fact is, verse 13 says that those that endure to the end will be saved. So what is he really talking about? Endurance. We need to learn to endure and endure to the end. See, one of the main themes of all Hebrews is about talking about the danger of going back on our profession or our belief in Christ. Okay. So what we need to learn is we need to learn to endure until the end, because if we haven't learned to endure and the things that we start walking through push us away from God, then we can be in danger. Okay. Let's read Romans 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience, and experience works hope. So what does endurance or perseverance really produce? Character. God's building character in us. When we're talking about patience, we're talking about endurance, persevering. That's a building process that God is working us into our character, our very nature. See, tribulation, it says, is going to produce endurance, and endurance is then going to produce character. It's not only the horizontal, our relationships with one another that God's working on and God works with, but he's really telling us back there in Matthew 24 that there's a danger of falling away from God. Now, if we're standing, if we're communicating, fellowshipping with God, that's not to put a fear into us. But we have to know that there are people out there that will stumble and be pushed away from, I don't want to say pushed away because it's a choice, but the things that happen in their lives will drive them away from God. Fact is, tribulation, we know, is going to do one of two things. It's either going to push you towards God or it's going to push you away from God. Unfortunately, some people move away from God rather than press into him when something's going on in their lives. When the real answer is when something's happening to you, something you're struggling with, or there's pressures or stress, push into God. Don't go away from him. Push into him. I'm going to read the next two scriptures together up there. I want to read Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, and then jump right into Hebrews 10, 35 through 36. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Remember that, faith and patience. Okay, 10. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promises. See, that first set of scriptures told us that there's two things you need. You do not just need faith, and you do not just need endurance. You need faith and endurance, or patience, as he says there. And the second one we read, and why I put it together, because that's telling us that there will be times that we've done the will of God, but we haven't received the promise yet. That's going to happen. I'll guarantee it. So what do we need to do when that's happening? Endure. Endure. Hang in there. It's as it says in there, you have need of patience. Okay. See, there's going to be a time of waiting sometimes before we receive what we're asking God for. There are going to be people where some of us are going to do the will of God. We're doing the right thing, and we have claimed God's promises. But then, you know what we do? We don't hold out. We don't hold on. We say, oh, you know what? It didn't work. He didn't answer my prayer. But remember, we just read that faith works with endurance. They come together. And I'll give you an example of that. Give you the story of Daniel. You remember the story? There's a lot of stories about Daniel. Do you remember the story of Daniel where he was petitioning God? He was praying and fasting and seeking God about Israel. And all of a sudden he gets a visitor. Gabriel shows up, right? But what does Gabriel tell him? Basically, Gabriel says, you know what, Daniel? God heard your prayer the first day. But the prince of Persia withstood me for 21 days before I could get here. So what he really was saying, and what I'm saying, is what would have happened if Daniel went 2 weeks and 6 days and said, you know what? I give up. God's not answering that prayer. Because it was on the seventh day, the 21st, that the angel arrived with the answer. So don't give up. Learn to endure. Learn to hang in there. If we don't get God's promise immediately, that doesn't mean he hasn't answered it. It just means God's building something in us. Have patience. Have endurance. Let's look at James 1, verses 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Okay? What James is telling us here is that if we go through the test and we learn to hold out, it's going to shape every area of our character and our personality. It's going to make us, as he says, quote, complete and fully rounded. But we have to walk through that in order for God to make us complete and fully rounded. Now, what is one of the greatest proving grounds that we go through for our character development? It's close, committed fellowship with one another. As we share our lives in committed fellowship with other believers, it can get uncomfortable. And it can be uncomfortably clear that there are some areas in our character that have never been dealt with. And if we're honest, we'll admit that. Unfortunately, the first place we look when something like that comes up is we look at the other person. And when it's their problem and what God's working out in their life, but the truth of the matter is God's working something out in our life, and it's through that fellowship and that rubbing that God brings it to the light, because once we see it in the light, he'll shine the light on it and we can change. Now, here's the danger. If we don't expose ourselves to other people, then we can deceive ourselves about the areas in our lives that need to change, that God wants to work on our character in. That's why we tend to back off every time we face a test or something that's going to expose areas in our own lives. What do? We withdraw. We run. We change churches. And even worse, we get very, very angry. We're angry at everybody, and particularly the person who we feel is causing us that pain. When the truth of the matter is, God may be using that person to shine that light in you. Okay. So because of this, there really is no greater ground for Christian character development than close, committed fellowship with other believers. So fellowship is the proving ground for our development. We cannot afford to ever forget that we need each other. We need each other. God uses us to help each other develop. As a matter of fact, I have the next thing I have is Proverbs. We won't look at it, but Proverbs 27:17. Dave already quoted it today. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens another man. Okay. We need to sharpen each other, but to do it in a way that God is working in it. There are a lot of us who want to sharpen other people, and it's not God working in us. But he can use us if we will approach him. That's why James tells us that the test of our faith produces endurance, and then endurance makes us, quote, perfect and complete. So yeah, we're going to get tested. So next question comes to me. Well, what are the tests of faith that we have to go through? Well, there's two broad ones. I'll start out very broad and then try to narrow that for you. The two broad tests are when life is too hard and when life is too easy. They're both tests. And I'll give you scriptural proof in a minute. See, when it's too hard, then we need to learn to stand during our tribulation or our persecution or whatever we're going through. We need to learn to stand in that. But when it's too easy, then we need to endure prosperity and success. Okay? Both of these can either drive you to God or away from God. And I'll give you my scriptural reference for that. I don't have it up there, but I'm just going to read you Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much, and then I'll disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. So either way, it can destroy you if you're not trying to stay focused in the Lord. But I do want to give you three biblical principles of endurance. Okay? The first principle we're going to find in 2 Corinthians 12:12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought amongst you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now, there's a key to this. You leave that up there. See, most of us, we want to pass over the qualification of endurance in this thing, and we want to focus on the miracles. People look and are drawn to the miracles and the miraculous. But Paul says miracles and signs and wonders are not the first sign of a ministry. Okay? It's not the miracles. It's the endurance. Is this someone who has endured in the Lord? And that's because a true apostle is the one who's going to hold out when everybody else runs or leaves. That's the sign of a true apostle of God. Someone who stands in the fire and stands in the middle of the trials and the tribulations and doesn't run. It's not the signs and wonders. The signs and wonders, it says, will follow. You know? So don't be looking for the signs and wonders as that's the evidence that that's a person with a really, really strong ministry. Look first, have they endured? Have they stood during it all? Second principle of endurance, Acts 11:23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Second principle is we need to have purpose of heart. That indicates that we really need to make up our mind to stick with the Lord regardless of what's coming our way, regardless of what we're walking through. And isn't that endurance? That's endurance. I won't read it, but you can write this reference down. Acts 14:22 tells us that there's no other way into the kingdom of God except through tribulation. Okay? So we know it's there. See, there's a future kingdom of God. That's coming. Okay? God's coming back. But there also is a kingdom of God right now here on earth that we are asked to enter into. We're called and invited to enter into that kingdom of God. But it says that it's going to be through much trials and tribulation that we enter into that kingdom. So in a sense, it's really unfair. Sometimes we make the mistake is when we make a new convert. We bring somebody into the Lord. We give them the idea that everything is going to be roses and that there's not going to be any problems. The truth of the matter is when someone first comes into the kingdom of God, they're probably going to end up finding new problems that they didn't even know existed before. Okay, but there's a difference. God will help them through it. God will walk them through it. But we don't want to give them the impression that they're never going to face any difficulties once they know God, once they've been brought into the kingdom of God. Fact is, what we really need to do is help them learn that it's the firm commitment to Christ, that without that commitment, they're not going to endure. They're not going to make it through the things that are going to come at them. But the good news is God promised he'll never leave us or forsake us, and that he will be there for all those trials, and that he will walk us through them. And that if we stumble and fall, he'll pick us up. Third principle, Hebrews 11:27. This is the third principle of endurance. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Who's he talking about here? Moses. Isn't he? The principle is this. It says that Moses saw the things who were invisible to him. But he saw them. That's why he could go forward. And it's a seeing the invisible is the thing that allows us to stand in faith, right? And faith, what is faith? Okay. So, if the seeing the invisible allows us to stand in faith, remember we also said faith and endurance are tied together. They work together. So if we are to endure, the things of the unseen world have to become more real to us than the things we're seeing in our real world. Because they are more real. Otherwise, we're going to fall in love with the world. We're going to be drawn away by the things of the world. And we're going to turn our back on the realities that there's a whole other spiritual realm out there. There's a whole other dimension that, unfortunately, we don't tap into or see enough. And we have been called. We can reach out into those heavenly realms. We can look into those other realms, but we don't see those things. We're too affected by our senses, the things we can see, touch, feel, taste. But we have to get beyond that and realize eternity's in another realm. Eternity's real, and it's more real than what we're living right now. See, let's read 2 Corinthians 4, and I'll make another statement here. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And 18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay? The unseen is the eternal. Isn't that what that scripture says? The unseen is eternal, and the unseen doesn't change. The world changes. And sometimes it's hard to know what's going to happen the next, or where the world's going the very next day. Try and play the stock market sometimes. You don't think things change in the world. You know? But the eternal things don't change. They're eternal. They're forever, and they're unchangeable. So see, we can enjoy life to its fullest without falling in love with the world and the things of it. And we can enjoy the goodness of God and appreciate his goodness and still not love the world because we're seeing things that are eternal. We're seeing things beyond our senses. So how do we do this? How do we keep from being drawn into the world? We do this by keeping our eyes on the things which are not seen, the things that are eternal. Doesn't God's word tell us that we are to set our affections on things that are what? Above. Not here. Things that are above. So remember, we have to reach the position where we really, truly know that we know that we know that the eternal things, the unseen things, the invisible things of God are really more real than the world is. And our senses, our sense knowledge. I want to move in now to three things that are going to help us to build that endurance. How do we help build endurance? How does God work with us to help us build endurance in our lives? First thing, when you fall, don't give up. Other people have fallen. As a matter of fact, everybody fails. Fall, fail, same thing. When you fail, don't give up. Everybody fails. It's going to happen. And unfortunately, Satan uses that as one of his biggest weapons against us. His trick is he wants to convince you that because you failed, that you should give up. Basically, he's trying to mentally abuse us. That's the word I put in there. He wants you to become depressed. He wants you to feel worthless. He wants you to feel guilt. He wants you to feel shame. Because he loves it when he can put that on you. Because then it can make you ineffective for the kingdom of God, and he can make you feel really bad about yourself. And that's where he wants you. It's harder for God to use you when you're struggling with all those things. I won't read it, but you can use the reference of Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24. That's where it says that God tells us that we're not going to be utterly cast down. And if we are cast down, then God has his hand there, and he's going to lift us up. So regardless of what Satan tries to convince you of, that you are a failure or worthless, God's word says exactly the opposite. He says, if you fall, I will pick you up. If you fail, I will be right there, and I will lift you up, and I will carry you through whatever you need to walk through. See, David knew this. That's why it said David had a heart after God. David failed terribly. David had some tremendous sins in his life, but God restored him, didn't he? And he could do that because David had a heart after God. The Bible gives us many, many examples of people who have failed and fell. I mean, there's a ton of them out there. I'll give you another scriptural reference we won't look up, but in Luke 22, verses 31 and 32, that's where it talks about Peter. Peter denying Christ three times. Peter failed miserably, but Christ said, I'm going to draw you back. Christ was there for him. He knew it. It didn't catch God by surprise when Peter failed, but God knew it, and also even told Peter, Satan wants you, but I'm going to pull you back. Second principle of learning endurance. We have to learn that not all issues are settled right here and right now. Some things remain for the future. Sometimes God's answer is for the future. And I've already quoted it, but Moses saw this. That's why Moses in Hebrews 11:27 says that Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and endured as seeing him who was invisible. Moses could endure. Moses could go through the things that he had to go through because he saw something that other people weren't seeing. He saw the invisible. He saw God's hand in whatever was happening. See? Third principle, how to endure, learn endurance, and it's a builder of endurance. The third principle is in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Okay? This is a process. I guess that's the word I was looking for. This is a process. If you're going to keep the faith, then you're going to have to fight the good fight. And if you're going to finish, that means you're going to have to fight. And you're going to have to keep the faith. Then, at that point, the crown is given, right? After the fight, after you've kept the faith. It's not a matter of how fast or how quick or how good you are at running. But it's really an issue of the faithfulness with which you served God. That's the good fight. Have you remained? Have you endured? And have you been faithful? All three of these experiences go together. Fight the good fight. Keep the faith. Run to the finish. And then you'll receive the reward. Endurance can be tested. And endurance will be tested. And the reason it's tested is because endurance is really a test of our loyalty above anything else. How loyal are we going to be? How faithful are we going to be to God and his calling? See, it's a test of character and loyalty because loyalty is part of character. And as I previously stated, we're being prepared to reign with Christ. So there are things in our character and our nature that he has to work in us, and loyalty is one of them. But what is character? What's the character he's working on in us? Well, it comes from the Greek word for engrave. It's a mark made on stone or some hard surface. How about a hardened heart? It's stamped, it's etched, it's engraved, it says. So character, then, is the foundation for our success in our lives and in our walk with Christ. See, all of us are born with the same genes. We all get a gene pool, and there's the same number in them. But character is about what you do with those genes. How or what we engrave on those genes is what really marks or makes our life. We can even learn by bad decisions. In fact, as you can probably most of the time learn more by bad decisions than you can from good decisions. But remember, character is our foundation for success. It's not our gifts. Don't ever get caught in looking at people's gifts, because that's not character and that's not the basis of our success. We've heard it said, men destroy with their character what they build with their gifts. But, gifts can add to character, okay, if you have the character first. Our current society greatly undervalues character. Character means nothing to them. We just look at the gifts. We're caught up in what they can do, how good looking they are. Are they famous? Are they rich? We are so caught up in the outward, in the manifestation of the gifts. We seldom, particularly the press, seldom looks at character. But God's not interested in the gifts. God's interested in the journey, the process. And he's only interested in that. He's not interested in the goal. He's interested in the journey and the process to get us to that goal, because that's how he molds, shapes, and develops our character. And what's that all about again? A summary word, it's about endurance. hanging in there, enduring, and learning. See, Washington and Lincoln had character. That's why we remember them. And that's why they stand out in history, regardless of what they're trying to do to them. Character is about survival because it builds for the storm. See, trees with strong taproots are the ones that stand in the storm. Character is our taproot. Without it, we're going to fall when the storms come. D.L. Moody is the one who said, I've heard this quoted a lot of times, I never was sure who it was, but D.L. Moody is the one who said, character is what you do in the dark. See, it's when we're under pressure, when we're under stress, that's when we're going to see who and what we really are. That's our real character, our true nature, is when things are hard and the pressure's on. So, adversity, this is a key. I wrote down, sometimes I think these are real keys, if you remember nothing else. Remember that adversity introduces us to ourselves. It's what's inside us and what needs to be changed in us. Now, since we learned that character means engraved or chiseled, then I think it's fair to say that adversity is the chisel that engraves our personality. See, people are usually no stronger than the adversity or the things that they've had to deal with. And I can say, and I said it that Wednesday night, and I say it again here with all sincerity, there are many people right here in our body that have gone through some tremendous adversities, and they've endured and they've stood, and that's why they are people of tremendous character. There are some people who have gone through some things that I cannot even begin to imagine having to walk through, but they found God and the grace to endure and walk through them, and now that's developed tremendous character in them. See, character is the foundation for trust. And trust is the foundation for almost all relationships. People trust us because they trust our character. If they don't trust your character, they're not going to trust you. It doesn't matter what you say if they can't trust your character. See, honesty, consistency, and other characteristics that I talked about before, those are the things that form trust in us. When we see them in other people consistently, and people that have endured over time with them. Trust is actually the currency of a society. You know that? If there's no trust, business can't even be conducted. How do you conduct business? How does a society do anything if you can't trust the other person? It's a breakdown. It all breaks down if we can't trust. With no trust, things start to fall apart. And again, I believe we're starting to see that even in our society right now. Can't trust people, and that's why things, and even business, is breaking down. You see, it's one thing to claim that you have faith in Christ, but endurance is going to prove it. Okay? So you can claim it, but you'll be tested. And do you endure? And if you do, that's a proof. I'm going to tell you real quick, I was going to skip this and end, but the last thing is a parable, because I can do it real quick. The parable of the 10 virgins. You remember that one? 5 wise, 5 foolish virgins. What did they do? The 5 foolish virgins ran out of oil. What does oil represent in the scriptures? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The 10 foolish virgins ran out of oil, ran out of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And why did they run out? Because they didn't keep replenishing the vessel, or the vessel. They didn't keep replenishing their vessel, so they ran out of the Holy Spirit. They ran out of the oil. And so when Christ returned, they were empty. Okay. That's endurance. You need to learn to endure. So I'm going to end with this summary. We do not, the music group can come up if they want to come up with it. We do not want God to come and find us lukewarm. We've been called to rule and reign with Christ. Therefore, God uses the processes of life while we are on our journey to develop character and endurance in us. Unfortunately, this journey or this process or testing, it can discourage us at times. However, the answer is not to run away from God, but to run to Him. We need to put on the full armor of God daily. We need to stay in His Word, and we need to draw closer to Him on a daily basis. See, the more intimate we are with God, the more strength we have to carry us through our trials. Now, this is because faith is built upon trust, and trust is really built by knowing God intimately. You see, when you've walked through life's experiences with Him, and you've seen His goodness and His faithfulness and seen how He carried you through things, that makes us more intimate with Him. And then we reach a point where we can say along with David, yes, I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. See, we do not have to worry about what might happen in the future because God's already there. His grace is sufficient for us, and He will help us to be those that can endure to the end. See, Jesus never failed because He was always looking at the Father, so He drew His strength from Him. We need to do the same thing. We need to keep looking at the Father so that we can draw our strength from Him no matter what's coming at us. A preacher once said, I thought this was a really good quote. Preacher once said, God is pulling the rope to see if it's strong enough to carry the weight that He's going to put on us. That's another, really a simple way of saying tribulation produces endurance, which then produces character. And all of this is our preparation so that we learn how to rule and reign with Christ. The last thing I want to say is I know there are many people here that are going through a lot of things and have been going through things, some really hard things. But right now, I believe that God wants you to know this day that He's with you and that He will carry you through whatever you're walking through and whatever you're facing. And He gives you that promise that I never will leave you or forsake you. And if you fall, I will be there pick you up. So, amen.